okay? If you a freak, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. This is going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? It's Matt Wilhelm here with you today on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Joining me today as well, Jason Gibbs, not only our esteemed producer, but now contributor on Cleveland Browns Daily.
For like the next month.
For the next month. It's going to be a herky-jerky show until about July 28th.
Exactly.
July 27th, sorry.
When everybody comes back.
Yeah. So I'm in all this week, running show. I will be out next week to get my vacation in before the grind almost starts for me again as if I was a player. So, and then Nathan will be with you next week. And then following that, we are both back. Right? No, then I'll be back in.
I was going to say, you're off next week. Nathan's off the week after.
Correct.
Then we're all back.
Then we're rolling. Okay.
It all begins.
So the Monday and Tuesday again, like this week, will be Jim Donovan and myself, which is always fun. And away we go. Football's right around the corner. It's getting exciting.
It's coming way too. 3 weeks from today, we start training camp.
That's nuts. That's
not ready for that.
3 weeks from today, and the rookies report 2 weeks from today, right?
I believe so. They report a week out.
The 23rd. Yeah, so it's right around the corner, folks. Exciting, exciting day. I want to share with you the Ohio Business Machine's hot topics for today. Last night, if you didn't tune into the NFL Network, they announced the top 10 players in the NFL. J.J. Watt, number one overall. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. He's the first defensive player ever, correct, Gibbs?
I believe so.
To be named the number one player in the NFL. So chime in, 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you all show long, or tweet the show as you did yesterday, and we greatly appreciate that, at Browns_daily. Any questions, Ohio State, any Cleveland Browns questions, or as I mentioned, chime in about last night's top 10. We'll go over that top 10 in depth and see if we would rearrange anything of the top 10. And as we mentioned yesterday, who do you felt was slighted outside the top 10, or who do you think did not deserve to be a part of the top 10 and should have been a little bit farther down the cusp there? And then one other thing we want to do custom to you here with the Cleveland Browns, it's your turn now. If you had to give us your top three Browns on the roster right now, who would be on your list? Call us at 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. And Gibbs, when you kind of came up with this fun topic, and this is something that we're going to add up throughout the show and we'll announce in our final segment of the show today, where you guys, as a consensus, as a fan base, have our top three players. I don't want to turn this into a popularity contest because I think one and two are very easy and evident in Joe Hayden and Joe Thomas for almost every fan. Do you think we should put like a little twist on it on top three players of importance on this team, like players that we couldn't survive without?
You can.
Or we can do two. I mean, we can do how about we do top three players, you know, on the Browns roster right now? And then I want to do, if it's, and I think it would be different, the top three players of importance that can't get hurt this upcoming season.
I like that. The player the Browns can least, how do I want to phrase that?
The top three players the Browns can't go on without.
Sure.
Or that would be a detriment to our season. Very similar to the way Alex Mack might be one of those guys.
Yep.
Right?
After last year, no question.
That's what I mean. And so it's, you know, Alex Mack might not be your top three Brown on the roster right now, but to me, he's one of the top three guys that you can't go on without. So we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. So as we get into the top 10 players last night, were you surprised that J.J. Watt was number one, Gibbs?
Not at all. I actually thought J.J. Watt should have won the MVP.
Yep.
As good as Aaron Rodgers was, you want to talk about a guy that if you took him off of that defense, what would that team look like? I mean,
can you say the same for the Green Bay offense?
Yeah.
Because we only saw one Matt Flynn game.
I feel like you can make the argument for anybody in the top 10.
Yeah.
You know, but I just thought J.J. Watt, in terms of impact plays and things that he did this season, I mean, his numbers were ridiculous.
For being the type of player that he is.
Yes.
As
for a
I've
guy
mentioned,
that really should just have tackles and sacks and tackles for a loss.
And that's what, you know, I always focus on when, as I mentioned yesterday, you have that one guy to have a corner like Joe Hayden and allow you to wipe that number one wide receiver off the board. That's, you know, that Antonio Brown, that Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant. If you can do your best to, you know, to over defend him and make everybody else beat you, that's what ultimately what you want to do. And you got to figure that J.J. Watt's been doing it long enough that he is, you know, he's got the asterisk, the highlighter, the bold circle around him in Sharpie marker each and every meeting as an offense creates their game plan, and yet he is as productive as he is. To me, it's astounding. It really is. The one key takeaway from last night's top 10 is, and I wasn't so sure about DeMarco Murray being fourth overall.
Yeah, I thought that was a little ridiculous.
I thought it was high because the you know, the interchangeability of running backs in the National Football League, I just don't – I mean, he was exceptional last year, but I thought that Isaiah Crowell could have rushed for 1,200 yards in Dallas last year.
I would agree with
as that. As a rookie, you know, behind that offensive line with Tony Romo, with Dez Bryant, with Jason Witten, and everything that they do offensively, that you get an above-average running back behind those guys in that scheme and feature him the way DeMarco Murray was, you're gonna get all of 1,200. You're going to get 1,000 yards, you know, through nine games.
Yeah, I feel like Marshawn and Murray should have switched spots, 4 and 9.
I do too, because Marshawn is he's the beast for a reason. And I think that he's in a system where he makes that offense. He makes that offensive line. He gets the tough yards. He's a grinder that I couldn't see DeMarco Murray going to Seattle and playing in that system and doing what he did in Dallas.
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Okay.
You know, but DeMarco Murray had Tony Romo and Dez Bryant.
Right.
Who does Marshawn Lynch have?
Russell Wilson?
You can make the argument for Russell Wilson, but who else?
That's it. Right.
I mean, Marshawn Lynch is the focal piece of the Seattle Seahawks offense.
And that's my whole point in turn for J.J. Watt, why I don't dismiss the fact that he's the best player in the game. Because you go out and want to stop Marshawn Lynch because of the other weapons that they have there in Seattle, and yet he still does what he does. So it's I think Brady was an appropriate number three overall. Peyton Manning was a little high in my eyes.
Yeah, but who else is going to make that top five?
I think maybe Andrew Luck.
Top five? No.
He's the present. He was present last year, and the future of that position for the next decade.
Yeah, but I don't know if he was top five worthy.
Okay. Calvin Johnson is injured as he has been. Was he a surprise at six?
You know what? Here's how I would have gone about
it. Okay.
I would have put JJ number one.
Yeah.
I would have put Rodgers number two.
Yep.
Tom Brady three. I would have put Marshawn number four.
Uh-huh.
I would have left Manning at number five. I'd have put DeMarco Murray at six.
Okay.
Seventh, I would have left Andrew Luck.
Okay.
Eight and nine, I would have put your wide receivers.
Antonio Brown.
I would have put Antonio Brown ahead of Megatron.
I would too.
I would put Antonio Brown at eight. I would put Calvin Johnson at nine, and then Gronk at 10. And I don't think Gronk should have made the top 10. But
right, and that, you know what, that brings up a great point. Let's hear from you. If you go to the NFL Network or NFL.com and you check out that top 10, call us with your top three for the Browns of. Your top three Browns on the roster right now, call us to tell us your top three Browns that are of most importance, meaning we can't lose them or the season in some cases might just go down the tubes. And then how would you, if you would at all, rearrange your top 10? I think those are three great topics to start for today's show. So if I had to look at it, the only thing that I would change, Megatron to me in Detroit, they don't have a lot of success. But I know he's a great player, so he deserves to be in the top 10, but not as high as six. I don't think of him as the sixth best player in the National Football League. I thought Peyton Manning, towards the end of the season, Andrew Luck had his rise, and Peyton Manning kind of had his fall. So I wouldn't even mind switching those two, where I'd have Luck at five and Manning at seven, because he's definitely deserving of being in the top 10. It's going to be very interesting this year with, you know, the new head coach, Gary Kubiak, out there in Denver, how receptive Peyton Manning is going to be to just the upheaval, you know, right smack dab in the middle of his, you know, kind of post-prime years in the National Football League. Because it seems to me he's always had his way. With Jim Caldwell, with Dungy, with John Fox, he has set the tempo. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Denver. And we actually, do we go to Denver this year, do we not?
Denver comes here.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Peyton Manning's potential last opportunity to play here in Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's going to be very interesting.
ESPN Cleveland, breaking news.
How about this?
Let's go.
This is how you kick off the show, man.
That's right.
1:12 p.m. And Brian Windhorst, ESPN Cleveland, NBA Insider and ESPN NBA Insider. LeBron James has agreed to re-sign with the Cavaliers. 1 year, $23 million plus a player option, sources have told our good friends at the Worldwide Leader.
I like that number, $23
million. Interesting how that works out.
It is. It is. And I think I know just listening to the Really Big Show this week is, or this morning as well, the Players Tribune articles written by Kevin Love and Mo Williams. Very long article that he wrote on the Players Tribune as well about his return.
What's with all these guys writing stuff?
I don't know. You know, and I think, you know, and I thought Emmett Golden made a great point this morning that, you know, LeBron kind of started this, you know, in the decision to feel like he had to go on TV to make a decision. And then for him to break his news the way he did to come back to Cleveland, you know, via SportsIllustrated.com and write about it. But Emmett made a great point where LeBron was very choosy with his words and elaborated only when needed to, but didn't throw up on you, you know, to go through and dissect his life where he just, and I haven't read it yet, Mo Williams, it seemed to me, like went back to his childhood to talk about why he's coming back to Cleveland, which is not relevant because I don't think the city yet is sold on him coming back to play here with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But all in all, it's great news today. LeBron James, if you just joined us.
We can talk about that?
Yeah. LeBron James.
$23 million.
$23 million. He's worth every penny.
He is worth every
penny. I remember as a kid, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm 95% sure, when Jordan signed like a one-year $30 million deal. And I was just astounded.
I can go even further back and remember when Hot Rod Williams of the Cavaliers wasn't even in the starting five, and he was making more than LeBron James, or I'm sorry, more than Michael Jordan.
Right.
As the sixth man on the Cavaliers.
Right. Yeah. Dude, I love Hot Rod.
I love the Hot Rod.
I love that. I love those Cavs teams, man. Elo, Price, Doherty, Larry Nance, Hot Rod Williams. That was the starting five, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Those are the good days.
Yeah, the good days are back, my friend.
The good days are back, and we've got the man that will make it happen, that got very close to bringing a championship back to Cleveland today. LeBron James, 1 year, $23 million deal with a player option that most likely will not be taken because of the new CBA last year.
That's exactly right.
Next year, I'm sorry.
Yep.
And even still, listening to Really Big Show this morning, they said the salary cap this year has gone up from $63 million to $70 million.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I've talked to Brian about this. He and I do a show on Friday mornings over on ESPN 1540 KNR2, and then we podcast it. And he's told me, like, agents have started telling players, start saving your money because in 2 years there might not be a season.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Get ready for the lockout to end all lockouts.
Because of that the TV deal?
Yes.
And how much money these players
CBA.
Are going to want?
Yep.
Wow. Wow. So what are they expecting? Again, with this increase to $70 million, are they going to creep towards triple digits with that new with the new CBA?
I would think so.
Towards the end of a new deal, if it's like a new five-year five-year deal, towards the end of that agreement, $100 million payroll?
I have no doubt about that.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
And it just – having my experience from, you know, working with the NFLPA as a player in the National Football League and them and being a part of their union, I always looked forward to, and some players dread it, when at that point it was Gene Upshaw or DeMaurice Smith would come into your building and you'd have that players union meeting where you got, for the older players, I think 2 years or above, you get your players bonus, you know, your players union bonus, because you pay your dues, you get them back after so many years. I think second year players get it. So rookies don't get it. They have to pay it, but they don't get it back. And the vets always come, and it's always nice, as I talked about yesterday, for a nice little, you know, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 bonus, you know, back in your pocket in the middle of the season.
Heck yeah.
It is. But the greatest thing about it was you get to learn about the growth of the National Football League. And for me, when I got to San Diego, that was a, you know, a down franchise worth, you know, maybe $500 million. And you look, you know, a decade later, 12 years later, they're now worth $900 million. Just goes to show the inflation and the, you know, via the byproduct that is the growth of the National Football League, both nationally and globally. And it's just impressive. And then also, too, the increase in the salary cap every year on what, on how the players union was going to go to bat for us time and time again to increase that number and, you know, just dig into those owners' pockets. And I remember Gene Upshaw was just so passionate as a former player. It was almost like a fight versus the NFL owners. He'd come in just, you know, full of, you know, piss and vinegar about backing us as players. And it was just, it made me as a young player really appreciate what the union was and how proud you really have to be a part of a players union because of what they do for you. So that's very,
that's an simple, interesting perspective, because a lot of people hate those players unions.
They do.
I mean, that aren't involved in it, obviously.
Of course. Exactly. Well, it's, you know what it is? It's the ultimate filtration process for us as players. And now it's even more in depth than it's ever been before because of, you know, they're scrutinizing agents, they're scrutinizing financial advisors, you know, they're scrutinizing your contracts. They're doing everything they can to monetize you as a player individually and collectively as, you know, as a big grouping of players. And that to me is something, you know, that I don't hate. So very, very interesting. If you're joining us right now, the breaking news has been LeBron James has re-signed with the Cleveland Cavaliers on a one-year deal worth $23 million with a player option for one additional year. Again, the Ohio Business Machine hot topics for today. NFL's top 10 players were announced. J.J. Watt, number one. Take a look at those and see how would you rearrange those, if you would rearrange those at all. Last hot topic for today is it's your turn. Give us your top three Browns on the roster right now by popularity, but also, too, by importance. Who could we not go on without? 216-578-0850 or at Browns _daily. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs on ESPN Cleveland 850 WKNR.